Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky, and today we have Rabbi Shlomo Weissman, who is the director of the Beis Din of America, and welcome to the show. How are you, Rabbi Weissman?
I'm good. Thanks very much for having me on.
No, it's our pleasure. And you, as you know, and I've read in some of your literature that the Orthodox Union is a major sponsor and funder of the Beis Din of America. So we're pleased to have you on our website, and hopefully it'll be interesting for people to listen to. So first of all, I guess there's a whole misconception about Beis Din. I mean, I know that. When I speak to a lot of people, they always tell me, no, I'm not going to go to a Beis Din. It just takes too long. All they try to do is get a compromise. They never really try to find one person right or one person wrong. Is that really true?
It's not. I'll address both issues. In terms of it being too long, I would say to the contrary. If you're comparing a Beis Din adjudication with the alternative in most people's mind, which is going to court, aside from the halachic problems with going to court, it's not true that the Beis Din process is longer. Typically, the Beis Din process is more efficient than the court process. Court is known to take long. It's it can be a protracted experience, as opposed to Beis Din, which is just much more efficient, practically speaking. In terms of the conception that people have that Beis Din sort of just splits the baby, or tries to come up with a pshara that doesn't necessarily reflect the righteousness of each of the positions of the parties, that's also, I think, a misconception, at least with respect to how things work at the Beis Din of America. Typically, the shtar berur, the arbitration agreement that's signed by the parties before the proceedings, provides for a decision based on pshara krova ladin, which basically means that the dayanim will assess the situation, apply the halacha, and then have some latitude to think about and bring into consideration equitable considerations, just to make sure that at the end of the day the psak is a fair one and reflects the equities of the matters. But the starting point is the halacha, or the law.
It's possible for someone to lose. I mean, go to Beis Din, I claim you owe me X, you say no. We go to Beis Din, and the ruling could be that I won or I lost completely.
100%, and that happens frequently.
Okay, good. I'm good we clarified that, because I think that's one of the reasons people always tell me they're not that interested in going. What about cost? What does it cost to go?
The cost, the basic cost of the Beis Din is $600 per hour total, meaning that's typically $300 per hour per side. That's when three dayanim hear a case. For a smaller and less complicated matter, sometimes we'll have one dayan sit on a case, and then the cost is half of that, so $150 per hour per side.
Now, this is while they're in session. I mean, or it's just, let's say, in other words, you go to Beis Din, you both present your argument, it takes a few hours, and then the Beis Din decides. So you're being charged a $600, or the two parties, while they're sitting and deliberating, correct?
That's right. It's for hearing time. We reserve the right to charge for the time it takes to consider and to write the psak, although that's usually negligible compared to the hearing time. That's the bulk of the cost is the hearing time.
I see. Okay, that's good. Now, how many cases a year do you actually get at the Beis Din of America?
We handle in the typical year about 100 files. That doesn't necessarily mean we have 100 actual Dine Torah or arbitrations. Usually probably about 20-25% of that actually ends up with a hearing, with a signed arbitration agreement and a hearing. The others are either settled, or for one reason or another, the parties end up in court or in some other forum, another Beis Din, something like that. Sometimes we're successful in brokering a settlement even before it comes to a Din Torah. That's one of the things we do, either in a formal mediation session with a mediator, or even just on the phone in the initial stages of dealing with a case. Sometimes we'll be able to broker a deal. Those we view as our most successful cases, when we could reach a settlement even without a Din Torah altogether.
Oh, I see. So you try to do that. You try to reach the settlement if you can.
If we can. It really depends on the case. Sometimes it needs a Din Torah. Sometimes the parties, one party or another, is not really amenable to settling. But it's something that if we see an opening for it, we'll certainly jump in and try to take advantage of that.
Okay. Now, you say you have like about 100 cases or something like that. So what's the breakdown? Are they, you know, matrimonial? Are they, you know, litigation for business? What is it?
I don't know the exact breakdown, but I would say it's a pretty even mix of matrimonial cases, commercial cases, and the commercial cases can be landlord-tenant cases, various commercial transactions that people enter into. There are employment cases involving employers in the private sector, in the business sector, or in nonprofit institutions, yeshivas. There's a pretty even mix of a wide variety of cases, I would say.
Okay. So, and how does it work as far as there's an Av Beis Din, and then the other people, most people are like freelance? Is that what they are? Most of the Dayanim are freelance people?
That's right. We have a roster of, I would say, about a dozen or 15 Dayanim that we pull from. Structurally, we have an Av Beis Din, who is Rabbi Gedalia Dov Schwartz from Chicago, and our Skan Av Beis Din is Rabbi Mordechai Willig from Yeshiva University, but they don't necessarily sit on every case or on many cases at all. They're involved more in the structural aspects and the overseeing of the Beis Din. In any particular case, we'll pull in from our roster of Dayanim, and we will usually staff a case based on the expertise or subject area interest of the Dayanim. The Dayanim, most of them are Rabbanim, many of them trained in Choshen Mishpat and experts in Jewish monetary law. Others might be attorneys or business people. And then we have a number of Dayanim who sort of overlap across the two. So we have rabbis who are also attorneys and bring both of those knowledge bases into the process.
And how long does it take, let's say, when you want to schedule a case? What's the lead time?
Scheduling a case, we can work with the parties pretty well to schedule it rather efficiently. Usually we're not the problem. We have to work with three people's schedules. It's the Beis Din, it's the plaintiff and the defendant. If everyone's cooperative and interested in meeting quickly, we could usually schedule a first session within as short as, 2 weeks from the time everyone signed the arbitration agreement and is ready to go. And it doesn't usually drag on more than that, I would say.
I know we talked a little bit about funding, and we talked about how the Orthodox Union is a funder. How else do you get your money? I mean, besides, let's say, the RCA. I mean, people still say, by the way, and I guess we should really correct it. People always say they call it the RCA Basin of America, but it's really not. It's really just the Basin of America, right?
It's not. Right, that's right. Historically, we were part of the RCA. And in the mid-1990s, we restructured and started working independently under our own board of directors. And so we're wholly independent from the RCA, although we still have a very close connection with them. We share space with them. They are a generous benefactor of the Beis Din, as well as the OU, which we're extremely grateful for. That's, I think, important to note, just that if you think of it from the perspective of communal structuring, the OU plays an important role in providing critical services to the broader Jewish community, and I think their support of the Beis Din and their investment in the Beis Din reflects a broad commitment to ensure that Mishpat is something that's readily available to our community. And I would say the same for the RCA.
No, thank you. That's exactly the way we feel about it. We feel it's an important service. And I always was kind of wondering why more people don't avail themselves of it. Is it education, publicity? What has to happen?
I wonder the same thing. I think that the services that we offer really are, an important service, just from the perspective of halacha. First of all, considering the fact that litigating in secular court is prohibited as a matter of halacha, Beis Din is really the proper forum for all business litigation to take place in. But aside from that, I mean, the service that we offer and the professionalism that we at the Beis Din of America offer is second to none in my view. And I think that, as you said, education is really the key element here. Not enough people in our community are aware of the service that we offer. there is, I think, a broad misconception that Bataydin are a haphazard and unprofessional place in which to bring disputes. But I think our track record offers an alternative view to that. We have published rules and procedures that are available online for anyone who wants to look at our website, www.bethdin.org. Those rules and procedures are well thought out. They're similar to what you'd see at a secular arbitration organization. And so attorneys who come here and represent their clients in front of the Bethdin, I think, feel comfortable that there's a predictable process and an even playing field for all disputants in resolving disputes here at the Bethdin. The Bethdin is also staffed by people who have an appreciation and deep knowledge of halacha. Our dayanim are, I think, second to none in terms of that. But as well, the Bethdin staff on an administrative level has a deep knowledge of secular law, an appreciation for arbitration law, an appreciation for procedural notions like due process, ensuring that we follow the rules strictly, that we don't deviate from them, that everyone really has the ability to bring their arguments to the fore in a playing field that's level and that's fair. So I think that there is a misconception.
Don't you think the local rabbanim, I mean, should be really be the advocates for the Bethdin? I mean, I think if they were the advocates, I think maybe more people would go. I don't hear a lot of local rabbanim talking about this a lot.
I think you're right. I think we have to all do a little more to educate the community and to let people know about the kind of services that we're offering. We recently did a Shabbos in the Teaneck Bergenfield area, and we'd like to do more of these in other communities as well, bringing some dayanim to communities, speaking about the services that the Bethdin offers, the professionalism of the Bethdin of America in particular. And I think that things like that and other programs to educate the public are an important element of this. We also recently came out with a new journal we started about 6 months ago, the Journal of the Bethdin of America, that you could also access on our website, which publishes articles pertaining to the procedural and substantive elements of Bethdin adjudication. Something unique in this journal that we first started now that I think also is an important way to educate the public about what we do is that we started anonymizing decisions that we've issued, psukim. What we did is we took a whole bunch of past decisions, changed the names and important facts in those decisions, and then on top of that, we got consent from the parties to publish them, and we started to publish these decisions. This way, people can see exactly what it is that we do, that our decisions aren't arbitrary, that they're reasoned, that they're logical, and that they make sense.
That's great. Now, I know in addition to that, there may be two other areas that you're involved in. One, of course, is in Gairus. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure. To clarify, the role that the Bethdin of America has in Gairus is that we are partners with the RCA, with the Rabbinical Council of America, in overseeing what's called the GPS, which stands for Gairus Protocols and Standards, which is a national network of Bataydin that perform Gairus. So the Bethdin of America itself doesn't perform Gairus, but it helps oversee this network. The network's an important development. It started about 4 years ago, and it ensures uniform standards in Gairus across North America. That's important because whereas in the past Gairus was subject to the whim of any local Rav, and then as a result, it could have been questioned, and in fact, some Gairus, unfortunately, was questioned.
Right.
Now we have a situation where every Gair that comes out of a GPS Bethdin is assured of uniform and universal recognition. That's a very important thing. I mean, the Torah tells us, v'ahavtem es hager, that it's important not to question the validity and the standing in the community of a Gair. So whatever we can do as a community to ensure that standards are uniform and that they're recognized and accepted universally, I think is an important...
No, I agree with you. That's definitely a very, very important factor. And now that, I know there was a controversy at one time, but today the Gair is done by the GPS system in conjunction with the Basin of America, and the Rabbinical Council of America, that is now accepted in Israel as a recognized gerus?
Yes, we have a close working relationship with the Rabbanut, with Rabbi Amar, the chief rabbi, that's right. There's a universal acceptance of our gerus.
Okay, that's very good. And the second thing was, I guess, in the matrimonial area of the prenups. And so how does that work?
The prenuptial agreement is an agreement that was first developed by Rabbi Willig in consultation with various Gedolei Torah in the mid or early 1990s. And it's proven to be an exceptionally effective tool for resolving the Aguna problem. Meaning that for those people who signed the prenup, our experience has been that the issue of the get is resolved quickly and without controversy early on in the divorce process for those people who unfortunately have to get divorced. The prenup essentially is a document that that is an arbitration agreement that says that any get matter involving that couple in the event that they are headed towards divorce is brought before the Beth Din of America, and the Beth Din of America has jurisdiction over the issue of the timing of the get, which could sometimes be a source of tension. The second element of the prenup is that it imposes a $150 a day support obligation on the part of the husband to support his wife from the time that they separate. That's basically a formalization of the ksuba obligation, the husband's general halachic obligation to support his wife. And what that does, practically speaking, is it incentivizes the husband to give the get early in the process if he wants to avoid the this monetary support obligation.
But now there are some people who don't agree with it, correct? What's their position, the people who think it's not right? What's their halachic position on that?
So my experience in the conversations I've had with all sorts of rabbanim has been, more than anything else, a cultural reticence to introducing new practices in the area of kiddushin. Our minhagim at weddings are old and sacred, and people don't want to introduce new practices, or I should say some people are not comfortable introducing new practices. The counter argument to that, I think, is the sheer magnitude of the Aguna problem. The fact that there are women out there on a daily basis who are suffering as a result of their husband's refusal to give a get to them even after the marriage is functionally over, and the fact that this prenup really, really works to solve the problem. You talk to Agunas who are out there and who are going through this trauma, and invariably they say, "I wish I had signed a prenup. I wish that the prenup had been available at the time I got married, or I wish I had been told by a friend to sign the agreement, because it would have solved the problem for me."
So that's the reason that there's an objection. Well, you know, the thing is this. I mean, I think that, you know, I'm glad to have you on the program, because I think there are a lot of misconceptions about the Beis Din of America and about Bate Din in general. And I think one of those is that the world is so complicated, the issues are complex, and you probably don't have the expertise to deal with it. But it seems pretty clear that you have the expertise, because the people who are on your, based in your group of Dayanim, are highly skilled, and not just in halacha, but in secular areas and in secular law.
Yeah, that's the feedback we get back. Oftentimes we're dealing with complex commercial litigation, complex commercial disputes, and the Dayanim who are sitting on our panels are people who have practiced law, some of them, people who are educated in the law, have practical business experience, many of them. And the feedback I get from attorneys and from litigants after the cases, I might not have been happy with the outcome, because I might have not have won or not won, might not have won as much as I thought I was entitled to. But I can say that the Dayanim clearly understood the nature of this transaction. They quickly grasped the facts. They got to the essence of the conflict, and they issued a reasoned psak that was logical and that made sense.
Great. Fantastic.
That's the kind of feedback that makes me feel good.
That's great. So one last question. How do the people reach the Beis Din of America? What do they do? Is there a phone number or a website?
Yeah, there's a phone number. Our phone number is 212-807-9042. We have a good amount of information on our website, www.bestin.org. But we're here to answer questions. We're well-staffed.
Great.
I'm here, happy to take calls. Alana Blass, who is our administrative attorney and who handles our DINTOR docket, is well-versed in our processes.
Terrific.
And procedures, and is happy to speak with people who have
Wonderful.
Questions.
Melissa and Rabbi Weissman, thank you so much for coming on the program and enlightening us. And hopefully the listeners who are out there will know this is a serious, viable option, and they should take advantage of it. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks very much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.